Hey Boo, we're continuing chapter 20, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. They just watched the memory of the house elf of that rich woman. "Now, Harry," said Dumbledore, "if you don't mind, I want to pause once more to draw your attention to certain points of our story. Voldemort had committed another murder. Whether it was his first since he killed the Riddles, I do not know, but I think it was. This time, as you will see, he killed not for revenge, but for gain. He wanted the two fabulous trophies that poor besotted old woman showed him. Just as he had once robbed the other children at his orphanage, just as he had stolen Uncle Morfin's ring, so he ran off now with Hepzibah's cup and locket." "But," said Harry, frowning, "it seems mad, risking everything, throwing away his job, just for those—" "Mad to you, perhaps, but not to Voldemort," said Dumbledore. "I hope you will understand in due course exactly what those objects meant to him, Harry, but you must admit that it is not difficult to imagine that he saw the locket, at least, as rightfully his."
"The locket, maybe," said Harry, "but why take the cup as well?"
"It had belonged to another of Hogwarts' founders," said Dumbledore. "I think he still felt a great pull toward the school that he could not resist an object so steeped in Hogwarts history. There were other reasons, I think. I hope to be able to demonstrate them to you in due course. And now, for the very last recollection I have to show you, at least until you manage to retrieve Professor Slughorn's memory for us. 10 years separate Hokey's memory and this one, 10 years during which we can only guess what Lord Voldemort was doing." Harry got to his feet once more as Dumbledore emptied the last memory into the pensive. "Whose memory is it?" he asked.
"Mine," said Dumbledore.
And Harry dived after Dumbledore through the silver-shifting mist, landing in the very office he had just left. There was Fox, slumbering happily on his perch, and there behind the desk was Dumbledore, who looked very similar to the Dumbledore standing beside Harry, though both hands were whole and undamaged, and his face was perhaps a little less lined. The one difference between the present-day office and this one was that it was snowing in the past. Bluish flecks were drifting past the window in the dark and building up on the outside ledge. The younger Dumbledore seemed to be waiting for something, and sure enough, there was a moments after their arrival, there was a knock on the door, and he said, "Enter." Harry let out a hastily stifled gasp. Voldemort had entered the room. His features were not those Harry had seen emerge from the great stone cauldron almost 2 years ago. They were not as snake-like, the eyes were not yet scarlet, the face not yet mask-like, and yet he was no longer handsome Tom Riddle. It was as though his features had been burned and blurred. They were waxy and oddly distorted. The whites of the eyes now had a permanently bloody look, though the pupils were not yet the slits Harry knew they would become. He was wearing a long pale black cloak, and his face was as pale as the snow glistening on his shoulders. The Dumbledore behind the desk showed no sign of surprise. Evidently, this visit had been made by appointment. "Good evening, Tom," said Dumbledore easily. "Won't you sit down?" "Thank you," said Voldemort, and he took the seat to which Dumbledore had gestured, the very seat, by the looks of it, that Harry had just vacated in the present. "I heard that you had become headmaster," he said, and his voice was slightly higher and colder than it had been. "A worthy choice." "I'm glad you approve," said Dumbledore, smiling. "May I offer you a drink?" "That would be welcome," said Voldemort. "I've come a long way." Dumbledore stood and swept over the cabinet where he now kept the pensive, but which then was full of bottles. Having handed Voldemort a goblet of wine and poured one for himself, he returned to the seat behind his desk. "So, Tom, to what do I owe the pleasure?" Voldemort did not answer at once, but merely sipped his wine. "They do not call me Tom anymore," he said. "These days I'm known as..." "I know what you are known as," said Dumbledore, smiling pleasantly. "But to me, I'm afraid, you will always be Tom Riddle. It is one of the irritating things about old teachers. I'm afraid that they never quite forget their charge as youthful beginnings." He raised his glass as though toasting Voldemort, whose face remained expressionless.
Nevertheless, Harry felt the atmosphere in the room change subtly. Dumbledore's refusal to use Voldemort's chosen name was a refusal to allow Voldemort to dictate the terms of the meeting, and Harry could tell that Voldemort took it as such. "I am surprised you have remained here so long," said Voldemort, after a short pause. "I always wondered why a wizard such as yourself never wished to leave school." "Well," said Dumbledore, still smiling, "to a wizard such as myself, there can be nothing more important than passing on ancient skills, helping hone young minds. If I remember correctly, you once saw the attraction of teaching." "I still see it," said Voldemort. "I merely wondered why you, who are so often asked for advice by the Ministry, and who have twice, I think, been offered the post of minister." "Three times at the last count, actually," said Dumbledore. "But the Ministry never attracted me as a career. Again, we have something in common, I think." Voldemort inclined his head, unsmiling, and took another sip of wine. Dumbledore did not break the silence that stretched between them now, but waited, with a look of pleasant expectancy, for Voldemort to talk first. "I have returned," he said, after a little while. "Later, perhaps, than Professor Dippet expected, but I have returned nonetheless to request again what he told me I was too young to have. I have come to ask that you permit me to return to this castle to teach. I think you must know that I have seen and done much since I left this place. I could show and tell your students things they could gain from no other wizard." Dumbledore considered Voldemort over the top of his own goblet for a while before speaking. "Yes, I certainly do know that you have seen and done much since leaving us," he said quietly. "Rumors of your doings have reached your old school, Tom. I should be sorry to believe half of them." Voldemort's expression remained impassive as he said, "Greatness inspires envy. Envy engenders spite. Spite spawns lies. You must know this, Dumbledore." "You call it greatness. What have you been doing? You call it greatness, what you have been doing, do you?" said Dumbledore delicately. "Certainly," said Voldemort, and his eyes seemed to burn red. "I have experimented. I have pushed the boundaries of magic further, perhaps, than they have ever been pushed." "Of some kinds of magic," Dumbledore corrected him quietly. "Of some. Of others you remain, forgive me, woefully ignorant." For the first time, Voldemort smiled. It was a taut leer, an evil thing, more threatening than a look of rage. "The old argument," he said softly, "but nothing I have seen in the world has supported your famous pronouncements that love is more powerful than my kind of magic, Dumbledore." "Perhaps you've been looking in the wrong places," suggested Dumbledore. "Well then, what better place to start my fresh researches than here at Hogwarts," said Voldemort. "Will you let me return? Will you let me share my knowledge with your students? I place myself and my talents at your disposal. I'm yours to command." Dumbledore raised his eyebrows. "And what will become of those whom you command? What will happen to those who call themselves, or so rumor has it, the Death Eaters?" Harry could tell Voldemort had not expected Dumbledore to know this name. He saw Voldemort's eyes flash red again and the slit-like nostrils flare. "My friends," he said, after a moment's pause, "will carry on without me, I'm sure." "I'm glad to hear that you consider them friends," said Dumbledore. "I was under the impression they are more in the order of servants." "You are mistaken," said Voldemort. "Then if I were to go to the Hogshead tonight, I would not find a group of them, Knott, Rosier, Mulciber, Dolohove, awaiting your return. Devoted friends indeed to travel this far with you on a snowy night, merely to wish you luck as you attempted to secure a teaching post." There could be no doubt that Dumbledore's detailed knowledge of those with whom he was traveling was even less welcome to Voldemort. However, he rallied almost at once. "You are omniscient as ever, Dumbledore." "Oh, no, merely friendly with the local barman," said Dumbledore lightly. "Now, Tom," Dumbledore set down his empty glass and drew himself up in his seat, the tips of his fingers together in a very characteristic gesture. "Let us speak openly. Why have you come here tonight, surrounded by henchmen, to request a job we both know you do not want?" Voldemort looked coldly surprised. "A job I do not want? On the contrary, Dumbledore, I want it very much." Oh, you want to come back to Hogwarts, but you do not want to teach any more than you wanted to when you were 18. What is it you're after, Tom? Why not try an open request for once? Voldemort sneered. If you do not want to give me a job... Of course I don't, said Dumbledore. And don't think for a moment you expected me to. Nevertheless, you came here. You asked. You must have had a purpose. Voldemort stood up. He looked a lot less like Tom Riddle than ever, his features thick with rage. This is your final word? It is, said Dumbledore, also standing. Then we have nothing more to say to each other. No, nothing, said Dumbledore, and a great sadness filled his face. The time is long gone when I could frighten you with a burning wardrobe and force you to make repayment for your crimes. I wish I could, Tom, I wish I could. For a second, Harry was on the verge of shouting a pointless warning. He was sure that Voldemort's hand twitched toward his pocket and his wand. Then the moment had passed, Voldemort had turned away. The door was closing and he was gone. Harry felt Dumbledore's hand close over his arms again. And moments later, they were standing together, almost the same spot, but there was no snow building on the windowsill, and Dumbledore's hand was blackened and dead-looking once more. Why? Said Harry at once, looking up into Dumbledore's face. Why did he come back? Did you ever find out? I have ideas, said Dumbledore, but no more than that. What ideas, sir? I shall tell you, Harry, when you have retrieved that memory from Professor Slughorn, said Dumbledore. When you have that last piece of the jigsaw, everything will, I hope, be clear to both of us. Harry was still burning with curiosity, and even though Dumbledore had walked to the door and was holding it open for him, he did not move at all. Was he after the Defense Against the Dark Arts job, sir? He didn't say. Oh, he definitely wanted the Defense Against the Dark Arts job, said Dumbledore. The aftermath of our little meeting proved that. You see, we have never been able to keep a Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher for longer than a year since I refused the post to Lord Voldemort. And that's the end of chapter 20. And next we'll read chapter 21 called The Unknowable Room. I hope you like that, my beautiful kitten. It's bedtime. Sweet dreams, my love.